Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you have just joined us, welcome to Radio Islam International and welcome to the program Household Express. I'm your host, Sister Zainab, standing in for Sister Amara, inshallah, for I think this is going to be the last program that I will be doing for her. When next you listen to the Household Express, inshallah, Sister Amara will be here doing the program with you. Well, inshallah, we hope that will be soon too. And we commence our program with an interview, inshallah, with our beloved sister Amara, alhamdulillah. That will be followed by our homemaking segment, and we will continue discussing the Qurbani recommendations, and we're looking at slaughtering, the bleeding out time, separation of species. We also want to look at meat hygiene. I think that's very important at this time, and some handy tips on Qurbani. And finally, we're going to be doing the recipe corner, that's the recipe segment rather. Today we're looking at fish biryani, fish kebabs, fish pockets, marinated fresh hake, or king club fillets. Now, this was a request from one of our listeners last week, alhamdulillah. But Sister Khadija, unfortunately, as you should be knowing by now, will not be able to be present here with us today. But mashallah, she sent us all these lovely recipes that we can share with you. And if any of you would like more of our Qurbani recipes, then please visit our website or contact Sister Faiza. She will be able to assist you. And of course, the website address is www.radioislam.co.za. So it's for, you know, more of the Qurbani recipes if you would like to have more of them. But for today, we're going to be sharing the fish biryani, fish kebabs, fish pockets, marinated fresh hake, king club fillets. If you would like to call in at any stage and share any of your thoughts with us, then please feel free to do that. The number to dial is 011-854-1548 and the SMS number is 082-8492-786. Right, we're crossing over to Saudi Arabia, and I believe we do have Sister Amara online. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Amara.
Assalamu alaikum, Zinek, and assalamu alaikum to all the lovely listeners out there. How are you all?
Alhamdulillah, and how are you?
Alhamdulillah, just recovering from a bit of a cold, a flu year, but it's all part of Hajj.
And where are you currently, Sister Amara?
We currently now in Azizia. We arrived in Azizia on Monday morning. So at the moment we are in Azizia.
Okay, and how is it right down there in Azizia right now? How's the mood of the people, and how do you just feel being there in Azizia, away from the peaceful Medina, away from the chaotic Makkah, I would say, and now back in Azizia? How do you feel being there?
Well, Zinat, away from Medina, you know, always said with person when you leave Medina, and when you come to Makkah as well, and you always fear to leave the Kaaba. And when you come to Azizia, you even more say that, because you're away from the Kaaba. You're away from the vibe there, you know, looking at people going and making their umrah. It's just a vibe you're missing out. You know, here in Azizia, it's so quiet. It's like people taking more like a rest here. But then again, also, we also, the ulama is actually spiritually, emotionally and mentally prepping us up for the 5 years of Hajj. So in that way also, you know, we need that as well. But then again, we make our way, we go to the Haram in the evenings after Isha, we take a taxi and we come back towards the early hours of the morning. So in both ways, you know, you're benefiting spiritually, both from the ulama as well for your 5 days of Hajj, and also going to and from the Haram as well.
Now, with regards to the health of many of the prospective Hajjis, how is the health of everybody right now?
Okay, before I tell you about the health of all the Hajjis also, Zinat, I think, you know, if you look at the other Hujjaj here in Azizia, you know, many South Africans move out from Makkah at least about a week before the, 2 weeks before the Hajj starts. And many anxious also, like first-time Hujjaj, many, many anxious ones as well, especially the elderly, you know, how are you going to manage? And they're quite anxious with the health as well. Are you going to manage with the heat? Are we going to do the walking Hajj? Are we going to go with the bus, you know? So I think in their way, they're quite anxious also. Then people have many different emotions also. And then I think most of all, you know, amongst the young and the old, I think amongst all the Hujjaj, I think they're highly honored and grateful But Allah Ta'ala has brought them to the Holy Lands to perform the 5 days of Hajj.
Alhamdulillah. Yes, it is a most, I think it's a very emotional time now, because you also realize that this is it. You know, we've come for this journey of a lifetime, and it's almost coming to an end. So that must be people must be feeling very sad about that, very excited about it. There's so many feelings, I think, that people are actually feeling right now.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And you know, with regards to health, everyone, I think many with the flu, the coughs and the colds, and I think it's due to the air cons also, because day and night, 24 hours, you know, we cannot do without the air cons. Mm-hmm. Especially as these are very dry and dusty, and as well as also many with people who actually suffer from asthma, you find them using their pumps more often here as well. And so many, like, you know, going up and down to the South Clinic, and they've been most helpful as well, and, you know, treating the South African who judge as well. And alhamdulillah, many recovering from the coughs and the colds and the flu, others more serious illnesses. But another granum or chifa, and it's all part of Hajj.
And yes, no, certainly you want to be in good condition, alhamdulillah, especially where your health is concerned, for the next 5 days, inshallah, you know, the Hajj will be a journey. Have the Hajjis, if they have in any way, but have they recovered from the tragedy of last week?
You know, Zinat, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. From a personal aspect, I don't think so. It's something that you will always remember for the rest of your life. And also, it's a remembrance also, and, you know, for the Shuhada as well, for their families as well. You know, although we weren't in the haram at that moment, but we were outside. You know, we were in part of that storm as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, my whole story of it, you know, inshallah, when I come back home, I probably want to write my whole story about it, you know, relate the whole incident. And but maybe sharing one or two also that I've come across on one of the websites here. Mm-hmm. In fact, one man left his bag, you know, and he moved away. And when he went back for his bag, that same moment when the crane hit him, and he passed away.
Oh, man.
Now look at that. And there was another incident also, Zinat, was a man also went to buy tea for his wife. Just before the crane fell, he got up to go and buy tea for his wife. He went out of the haram. So he got saved in that way, well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So in that way also. But you know, it was just so traumatic, so shocked as well. And to see so many hujjaj injured, to see them carrying so many janazas as well. And the amount of water in the haram, people were pushing the water out. It's like when the Maghrib Salah and Isha Salah, you know, you were reading Isha on the haram floor, but there was water under it. You were reading Isha on water, you know. Your legs were covered completely in water. And I think, you know, if you... different, like I spoke to so many different South Africans here, and everybody's related to different stories of the incident. Mm-hmm. And if I met other people in probably in the malls, and they didn't even know what happened, because you already told me the malls or whatever, and only when they open the cell phone, you know what's happening, you know, because South Africans got the message and they were WhatsApping one another, they were like, now what really happened? They were actually surprised that, you know, I don't even know what happened in the haram.
Mm-hmm.
And only afterwards they actually realized that this is actually what happened. Mm-hmm. So many people, different experiences as well. But also, you know, it's from Allah, Atla Grant, those that passed away, the highest is of Jannatul Firdaus, Ameen. They're all martyrs, they're all shuhada. Those who were injured, Atla Grant, complete shifa as well, Ameen.
Ameen. And, you know, maybe you can just share with us a little bit of your experience with regards the tragedy, if you want to.
Yes.
How did you feel when you heard? Thinking of it, that we in South Africa are, we don't experience things like that. We always see pictures of all, death and destruction and violence and all those things on social media and perhaps on TV or news. We don't really ever experience such a thing. So how did you feel when you could actually see this happening right in front of your eyes?
The storm came. I was in, I went just to visit a friend of mine in a hotel, And from the window, you know, you could actually see it becoming like so dark and gloomy, and I won't say gloomy, but very dark and misty. You couldn't see very far beyond, you know. And the next time the haram lights went on, because it became quite dark, and then the wind came, a very strong wind came, and then the rain came. It actually hailed, you know, it was actually hailing as well. And I could just see things flying all over. And I said to my daughter, I said, come, let's go, we can get wet in the rain, you know, because it's the rain of Makkah rain, so let's go and get wet in the rain. And my friend kept talking and talking, and somehow or the other, we just delayed it for about 15 minutes went by. And when I looked at my phone, I said, oh, there's no network on my phone. And a while later, my son came, and he's like soaking wet. He said, Mommy, you okay? I said, no, we're fine, we're okay. And he was like so shocked, because he went to another friend of his who was at another hotel, and I think they got stuck in a storm, and they actually seek shelter under the bridge. Mm-hmm. And they actually seen this, you know, this green barricade that they have outside the harem. Mm-hmm. They actually seen a few of it hitting people in their faces. Oh. A lady in a wheelchair who passed away at the same time, another man. And it was just, I think it was just very traumatic for them. And he came to the hotel soaking wet. And eventually we took a walk back from another hotel, back to our hotel, and we were soaking wet. And we just seen the blood everywhere. We seen them carrying the injured out there, you know, the Ajaj hospital down at Safa Towers. Mm-hmm. And they were just taking stretches out of people, and janazas being carried out. And, oh, I think we were more shocked than anything else. And as soon as we came back to the hotel, and I looked at my phone, I seen so many messages. All you wanted to do was just talk to your people back home. And, you know, I think everybody had a different experience. And I think it was just like talk, you know, on social media. When you went out again for the Salah of Maghrib and Isha, you could just see people talking in circles, different languages, showing the pictures on social media, people crying, people expressing their grief. You know, it was just too sad, especially when the imams read the Maghrib Salah, the short surahs, as well as Isha, and that same night, you know, the tawaf looked so small, and we couldn't sleep because we were so shocked. So at about 3:30, we went to the haram, and the tawaf was so small, so we took advantage of that as well, and we just sat there. By the time we came back, was like about 3-4 in the morning. At least you knew, we felt a bit okay. But when you look at it on the other hand, you know, there was so much happening on the one side of the haram. Mm. And if you look at the Kaaba, you see much of peace at the Kaaba.
Mm.
You know, so you look at it in that way, there was so much happening at the haram. There was blood, there was like martyrs there was people injured there on the one end. And it was like chaos. But again, if you look at your eyes on the Kaaba, you see there's so much of peace and contentment. So you look at it on both opposite ends. So look at it. That's all from Allah.
Mm. Anyway, it's, I guess, an experience of a lifetime, and you will never, ever forget this.
No, never, never, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, Allah make it easy for all. Alhamdulillah, we're happy that none of our South Africans were injured, but Alhamdulillah. Anyway, you mentioned that you are traveling from Azizia to Makkah regularly, every day. Do you go?
We try and do it every day, isn't it? Yes, mm-hmm. Every day we go, about after Isha,
mm-hmm.
And then by about 9, 10 o'clock we go, and then we come back by about 2 or 3 in the morning.
How?
And you find just, you know, it's like you don't even say it's evening time, because the haram is full. Last night the haram was so full, and people making tawaf and all the mataf, the first floor and the second floor, and it just carries on there. You know, the vibe is so nice, because people are like gearing up for Hajj, and it's just so nice just to be in the haram area itself. And you know what's even more beautiful, Zinat?
Mm-hmm.
When you enter the Makkah at the and the entrance of the haram, you find that you can actually see the Kaaba from the street.
Oh,
that's how they actually built it. You can, the one end, and they just opened up last week, you could actually see the Kaaba from the road.
Oh,
it is so beautiful. The one end, they just opened up.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, Sister Amara, do you know of any concerns that perhaps some of the Hujjaj may have at this stage? You know, the final stage, shall we say?
I think the concern for them is the weather, a hot weather. I think that's everybody's concern. So always, you know, the ulama, the medical team, is telling us to have lots and lots of liquids as well, and, you know, stay hydrated, yes.
Mm-hmm. So basically, but health-wise, alhamdulillah, everybody's well, as best as healthy as could be.
Yeah, alhamdulillah, everybody is so healthy, and the vibe here in Vizya, it's just too nice. It's like one big happy family, you know. What? In fact, I must tell you, there's another 89-year-old sister from South Africa, first time Hujjaj, and we all call her Ma.
Mm.
And so we will be talking to her also during the 5 days of her Hujjaj. And you must see her, she's so jolly, and for an 89-year-old sister, she is so strong.
Alhamdulillah, mashallah. Well, Sister Mara, I have to continue with my program right now. But, you know, before we go, do you have any messages for your family at home, for all of us?
I've got a long, long list, and I've got many names to mention.
Mm.
But I don't want to tell them all that I miss them all, and I love them all, and remember us that for us also, coming up to the fires of the Hajj, inshallah, ameen.
Ameen. Well, anyway, wishing you and your family, your daughter and your son out there, and all the Hujjaj, a Haji Mabrur and a Haji Makbul, may Allah Ta'ala make it easy for you, and please take care. You know, this is last few days, you need to keep, you know, healthy. Stay healthy, look after your health, and remember us in your du'as, inshallah. And
JazakAllah so much, Jimmy, and JazakAllah to all the listeners also for always sending all their well wishes and their du'as.
Mm.
Much, much appreciated. And JazakAllah to you, Jimmy, for sitting in my program and for all your du'as and your love as well.
JazakAllah khair. Remember us in your du'as. That's all we really want you to do for us.
It's okay. Most important to me. JazakAllah. We'll be catching up on the fact
yes.
of the
project. Inshallah. We'll speak to you next week again, inshallah.
Inshallah. JazakAllah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That's Sister Mara. It's so wonderful speaking to her. We can continue speaking forever. Well, anyway, we're going to continue with our program. We'll take a break now. When we return, we're going to do the homemaking segment, and we'll continue discussing Qurbani recommendations, and we're going to look at slaughtering, bleed out time, separation of species, meat, hygiene, and some handy tips on Qurbani. This is the last program that we'll do before, obviously, next week will be Eid, so there won't be a recipe program then, and we'll be very busy next week. So let's finish this program. I'm really going to miss being on this program. I've quite enjoyed doing this program for Sister Mara. But anyway, stay tuned. We'll be back in a few moments.
Radio Islam cannot guarantee that any business, insurance, or financial institution whose services are advertised are Sharia compliant.
Invest up to 30,000 Rand per year in a Sharia compliant tax-free savings account with 27-4 investment managers. You can now invest in our top-performing Sharia-compliant unit trusts, knowing that all capital gains and dividends you earn are completely tax-free and have access to your money at any time. Grow your money tax-free by calling us today on 011-442-2464 or visit 274.com. 274 Investment Managers is an authorized financial services provider.
Dua when entering masjid.
اللهم افتح لي أبواب رحمتك.
Oh Allah, open for me the doors of your mercy.
You don't have to go to India to experience exotic spices. Come to Mars Spice. We select the best. We clean the best. You get the best. Dana, Jiru, Garam Masala, Maschachas Mexican Manchurian Spices. Bring your daddy and your nanny to Mars Spice. Turn your cooking into a fine art. Come visit us at Mars Spice. 33 Concord Place, Lanasia. 011-854-3256. Behind Jamia Masjid.
Takbir.
Allahu Akbar.
Allah is the greatest.
Lanasia Muslim School Annual Qurbani 2015. We provide the following: hygienic facilities, slaughtering, skinning and cleaning, storage and slicing facilities, viewing of sheep at Coogan's Farm from Saturday, 5th September 2015 onwards. All proceeds towards developing of the Lanasia Muslim School. For bookings and info, contact Ibrahim Motala, 082-757-5864, Abdul Samad Ismail, 082-857-5560, or the Lanasia Muslim School, 011-857-1062 or 011-857-1221. Storage and slicing facilities will be provided at the Coogan's Farm.
You are listening to Household Express on Radio Islam International.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Household Express. I'm your sister Zeenat, standing in for Sister Amara. And we're going to be continuing with the Qurbani recommendations that we started off last week with. Also a reminder to our listeners out there, if you would like to share your Qurbani hints and tips with us, then please call in 011-854-1548 or you can SMS me on the number 082-84-9278-6 for a few minutes before I start with the recipes. With regards to the slaughtering, they say that the knife used to slaughter must be extremely sharp to make the slaughtering as humane as possible. And slaughterers must at all times ensure that a knife is sharpened after every slaughter. Knives must also be of adequate length, that is, for cattle, it must be a minimum of 250 millimeters long. For goats or sheep, it must be 180 millimeters long. The knife used for slaughtering should be the same knife used for dressing the animal, or rather not the same knife used for dressing the animal. Animals should not be made to see the knife. This is very important. Slaughter should be done by a maximum of 3 swift cuts of the major blood vessels of the neck. Slaughter should be done out of the view of other animals. And all blood must be washed away and carcasses must be removed before the next animal is brought to be slaughtered. Blood must be washed away or covered with soil after each animal is slaughtered. And people slaughtering must be competent and confident enough to slaughter. A scared or an uncertain slaughterer may increase the pain of the animal or may even leave the animal half slaughtered, which can be extremely dangerous. So be careful about that. And then bleed out times. The animal should be allowed to bleed out, allowing the legs and the body to kick and move so as to allow the blood to drain. The animal should only be removed for dressing, that is for skinning and cleaning, once it is completely dead. So please, you need to make sure of this, because sometimes what happens is while the animal is still kicking and kicking around, the people that are busy dressing or skinning and cleaning already start. So please take note of this. The Meat Safety Animals Act stipulates 8 minutes for cattle and 6 minutes for smaller livestock. So you wait about 8 for big animals and 6 minutes for smaller animals. Then separation of species. They say species are often mixed during transportation and in holding areas, and irritable animals must be separated from the rest. With regards to meat hygiene, the process of slaughtering and dressing should be as clean as possible. Knives should be washed with hot water. Animals should be completely dead before skinning commences. Areas for slaughtering and dressing should be washed throughout the process. Carcasses must be washed with a high-pressure hose or hose pipes to remove contamination, and then should be chilled as soon as possible. If no chilling facility is available, arrange to take the meat to a butcher or to a cold storage facility. Failure to adhere to these basic hygiene guidelines can result in meat spoilage and can cause food poisoning. The offal and the hides can be donated to the poor and the needy and should not be buried. Well, we trust you will endeavor to treat animals meant for qurbani as humanely as possible. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not only sent as a mercy to mankind, but as a blessing to all creatures. His advice regarding the treatment of animals must serve as our guidance. And he said, Allah has ordained kindness and excellence in everything. If the killing of animals is to be done, do it in the best manner. And when you slaughter, do it in the best manner by first sharpening the knife and putting the animal at ease. This comes from Muslim. Looking at just a few handy hints and tips when making qurbani, I may repeat a few, but just for the benefit of our listeners, do not perform the slaughter process in front of other live animals. Maintain strict hygiene standards and some health guidelines. Observe the following after slaughtering the animal. Again, I know it's a bit of a repeat, but it's very important for us to remember these important points. Allow the dead animal to bleed completely. Skin the animal as soon as possible to avoid possible contamination. Remove and clean the intestine and the offal. Carefully remove and dispose the bile or the gallbladder. Cover the blood pit with sand and wash away all blood. Keep the carcasses in a cool, shady area and freeze as soon as possible to prevent cross-contamination. Also, they say many food items should be kept separate from each other during storage and preparation to prevent cross-contamination. Never store ready-to-eat foods next to raw lamb or any other raw meat. Bacteria that may be present on the raw meat may contaminate the ready-to-eat foods. During food preparation, it is very important to wash your hands, often to help prevent the transfer of harmful bacteria from one food item to the next. For example, when handling raw meat, you should wash your hands thoroughly before chopping the vegetables to reduce the risk of transferring bacteria from the meat to the vegetables. Now, if cutting boards are used in your kitchen, it is a good idea to use one for meats and a different one for fruits and vegetables. Cutting surfaces made from tempered glass are safer to use because you don't have to worry about cracks and pores harboring bacteria as you do with wood or plastic surfaces. Tempered glass surfaces are also easy to clean, regardless of the material they are made from. Cutting surfaces should be cleaned thoroughly after each use. The knife that was used to cut raw lamb should not be used to chop vegetables unless the knife has been washed thoroughly first. When serving cooked meat, do not place it on the plate that contained the raw meat. Storing and freezing, that's the next point. Ensure that the fridge maintains a temperature below 4 degrees Celsius. Inexpensive thermometers can be bought for this purpose. Always store meat in the coldest part of the fridge, that is on the bottom shelf. If the meat is in a cling film tray, leave it in the packaging until ready for use. If not, put the meat on a plate, loosely wrap in greaseproof paper or foil, and stew in the fridge away from cooked meats and other ready-to-eat foods. Lamb will keep for about 3 to 5 days in the fridge. Mince, offal, and small cuts of lamb are best eaten on the day you buy them or within 1 or 2 days. Joints, chops, and steaks will keep for 2 to 3 days, and large roasting joints up to 5 days. This is in the fridge. Leaner cuts last longer than fatty cuts because fat goes rancid or rancid before meat. Never let the meat or its juices come into contact with other foods in the fridge, particularly food that doesn't require further cooking. Quickly freezing lamb reduces the chance of damage to the texture or the succulence of the meat. And finally, smaller pieces and larger joints can be frozen. For ease of use, freeze cuts tightly wrapped in individual portions. Don't freeze lamb for more than 6 months, and when ready to use, defrost loosely wrapped in the fridge, allowing 5 hours per 450 grams of meat. So, yes, always remember when you are defrosting your meat, not to defrost it on the shelf or on the kitchen units, on the basin for that matter. Leave it in the fridge to defrost. Well, those are some of the hints that I've shared with you. If you have any more hints that you would like to share with us, you have a few more minutes. You can call in or send us an SMS and we will share it with our listeners. We're going to take a break, and inshallah, when we return, we'll be going for the final recipe segment. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a few moments.
People everywhere feel hunger, but for some, hunger is felt every day and night. The Al Imdad Foundation brings you a new, smart and sustainable canned kurbani program, where for only 1,700 rand per sheep, we will slaughter, can and distribute your kurbani to the most needy Syrian people for whom hunger has become a way of life. All you have to do is donate. The rest will be taken care of. Our cut-off date for kurbani is the 18th of September 2015. Visit alimdad.com or call 0861 786243 for more information.
The Lanesha Muslim Association, your partner in fulfilling your responsibility of granting your child the greatest gift of basic Palestinian education. We urge you not to compromise on this need of your child, which will be Thawabi Jariya for you. The Lanesha Muslim Association invites you to earn Thawabi Jariya by educating a learner at only 250 rand per month or part thereof. A few rands in the LMA 10 will keep the wheels turning of serving Madrasa and Masjid.
Shama Spice World of Lanesha has the following specials. Sana Stella Brown Basmati Rice 5 kilograms, 99 rand 90. Sana Super Kernel Low GI Basmati Rice 5 kilo, 95 rand. Steer Sauces 375 mils 14 rand. Aerial Otto 2 kilograms, 48 rand. Cool Baked Beans 410 grams, 3 for 22 and 50. Royal Baking Powder 200 grams, 13 rand. Close Up Toothpaste Red 125 mils 3 for 20 rand. Now in stock a wide range of Amina's Masalas and Marinades. Catch Shama Spice World. Contact 011-852-5568.
It's Kurbani time again. Who other than the Polokwane Muslim Trust Welfare Fund to do it for you? The PMT Welfare Fund is embarking on a journey to serve some of the most poverty-stricken areas in some very remote areas of India. Profits from this project helps us at the Welfare Fund to assist those in need. Overseen and personally supervised by members of the Welfare Fund. 450 Rand per share, 2,800 Rand for 7 shares. Call Molana Naimullah Chunara on 015-295-9257 office hours.
You are tuned to Household Express on Radio Islam International.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Household Express. I'm your host, Sister Zainab, standing in for Sister Amara, and I think this will be my last recipe program with you. Inshallah, the next time you listen to the Household Express, you will have Sister Amara with you, inshallah. Okay, we had a request from one of our listeners last week that wanted some of our fish recipes. Jazakallahu khair to Sister Appa, or rather Appa Khadija Ibrahim, for taking the time off. I know she's very busy at the moment, but alhamdulillah, she's taken the time off to share these recipes with us, or at least send all these recipes to us so that we can share it with our listeners out there. If you would like more Kurbani recipes, then please visit our website on www.radioislam.co.za. There's many, many recipes out there that you can use for all your Kurbani recipes. These fish recipes that I have for you today are also on our website already. Go onto the website, you will find all these recipes there. And if you have any difficulty, then you can contact Sister Faiza, she will be able to assist you. Okay, we start off with the first one, Maaf, which is fish biryani. For the fish biryani, you need 1 kilogram of red fish or king clip, 1 kilogram of red fish or king clip. You need to wash and drain the fish properly. Masala the fish and leave to marinate for about 1 hour. Masala the fish and leave to marinate for about 1 hour. Then you need to boil 3 cups of rice, basmati rice preferably. Boil 3 cups of basmati rice. Boil about 1/2 to 3/4 cups of masoor. Boil about 1/2 to 3/4 cups of masoor. Separately, fry 4 potatoes. So peel, cut and fry. That's 4 potatoes. You will need 4 potatoes. Now, make a marinade by using 3/4 cup of fish masala. 3/4 cup of fish masala, 3 onions fried and crushed, 3 onions fried and crushed, 1/2 cup of lemon juice, 1 tablespoon salt, 1 tablespoon salt, 1 teaspoon arad, 1 teaspoon arad, 2 tablespoons of dried henna, 2 tablespoons dried henna, 2 tablespoons red chilies, 2 tablespoons red chilies, 2 grated tomatoes, 2 grated tomatoes, 3 to 4 tablespoons of tomato puree, 3 to 4 tablespoons of tomato puree. You'll also need a few whole green chilies, and 1 cup yogurt, This is what you need to do. Fry the fish in a little oil on high for a few minutes. So that's just a quick fry you give the fish. But your oil must be nice and hot. So fry the fish in a little oil on high for a few minutes. Then add all the ingredients for marinade in the bowl. Marinate fish in it. And now you layer a little rice, then masoor, then all the fish. You just pack all your fish, put fried potatoes on top of the fish, then put a little more masoor and the rest of the rice. So this is what you do. You know, once your fish is marinated again, you now layer, firstly, this is in your pot, your fish pot, you layer a little rice, then masoor, and then you pack all the fish over it. Put fried potatoes on top of the fish. Then put a little bit more masoor and the rest of the rice. Make a little saffron water. Add on top of the rice. Make a little saffron water and then add on top of the rice. Garnish with a little crushed onion and steam on medium heat for about 3/4 to 1 hour. Garnish with a little crushed onion and steam on medium heat for about 3/4 to 1 hour, and you can serve with bay. So that's your fish biryani. Actually very easy to prepare. The next recipe we have for you is the fish kebabs. For this, you need 1 cup of steamed fish, preferably hake. 1 cup of steamed fish, preferably hake. 1 cup of stiff mashed potato. 1 cup of stiff mashed potato. That means you need to remove all the water if you are boiling your mash. Or some people even just put it into the microwave, and in that way it gets softer quick with not a lot of water in it. So 1 cup of stiff mashed potato, 1 egg, salt and pepper to taste, 1/4 teaspoon ground nutmeg, 1/4 teaspoon of ground nutmeg, 1 teaspoon of ground jeeru, 1 teaspoon of ground jeeru, some chopped parsley, chopped green chilies. That's chopped green chilies. Chopped Tanya and spring onions. Chopped Tanya and spring onions. Breadcrumbs as needed. Breadcrumbs as needed. And one egg beaten. One egg beaten. Well, all you need to do is to flake the fish and remove all bones. Flake fish and remove all bones. Add all ingredients and mix well. Add all ingredients and mix well. Form into balls and flatten slightly. Form into balls and flatten slightly. Dip in egg and roll in breadcrumbs. Dip in egg and roll in breadcrumbs. And fry in oil until golden brown. Fry in oil until golden brown. So that's the recipe for the fish kebabs. And finally, oh not finally, we still have two. So we have the fish pockets. For the fish pockets, you need to prepare filling. For the filling, you need mushrooms, green peppers, red peppers, red onions, and feta cheese. Okay? Mushrooms, green peppers, red peppers, red onions, and feta cheese. Okay, you need to saute the mushrooms, peppers, and onions in salt, pepper, garlic flakes, lemon juice, with olive oil. Saute the mushrooms, peppers, and onions in salt and pepper, garlic flakes, and lemon juice with olive oil. Okay? When cool, add feta cheese. When cool, add feta cheese. Now you need to marinate your fresh hake or king clip fillets. And this is what you need to do. 2 tablespoons of mayonnaise. 2 tablespoons mayonnaise. 2 tablespoons of lemon juice. 2 tablespoons lemon juice and 1 tablespoon of garlic, and crushed garlic. Salt and lemon pepper. Salt and lemon pepper. And then you need to slit the fish in the center to make a pocket and stuff with filling. Okay, so you slit the fish in the center. Obviously, to make a pocket and you stuff with the filling. Dip in flour and fry on medium heat in a non-stick frying pan and serve with lemon butter sauce. Okay, so dip in flour and fry on medium heat in a non-stick frying pan and serve with lemon butter sauce. Okay, so what you need to do is you first need to prepare this is for the fish pockets. You first prepare the filling with the mushrooms, green peppers, red onions, and feta cheese, where you just need to saute the mushrooms, peppers, onions, in salt and pepper and in garlic flakes, and with some lemon juice in a little bit of olive oil. Then When it's cool, you add the feta cheese to it. In the meantime, you marinate your fresh hake or your king clip fillets in the following: 2 tablespoons of mayonnaise, 2 tablespoons of lemon juice, 1 tablespoon of garlic, salt and lemon pepper. Then you just slit the fish in the center to make a pocket and stuff with the filling. Dip it in the flour and fry on medium heat in a non-stick frying pan and serve with lemon butter sauce. Well, this really, really sounds absolutely delicious. Anyway, all these recipes are courtesy of Abba Khadija Ibrahim. Jazakallahu khair, Sister Khadija, for sharing these recipes with us, and I hope our listeners will enjoy preparing them as well. Well, that then brings me to the end of the Household Express program. I don't know when I'm going to ever do it again, but Jazakallah, it was wonderful sharing all these recipes with you and being in your company for this last few weeks, Alhamdulillah. Please remember us all in your du'as. I know we all are going to be very busy preparing, but these are also very great days. So please remember each and every one of us here at the radio station in your du'as. And of course, to all our hujjaj that are preparing these last few days before the great journey, we're wishing all of them a Hajj Mabrur and a Hajj Maqbool. May Allah Ta'ala make it easy for one and all. And if they are listening to us, wherever they are, please remember us in your du'as as well, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.